Coming up, Call the Midwife After Show in just a second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm John Comfort, and joined in the studio by
Tamara Bird
and
Courtney Stewart.
I'm laughing.
Traumatized.
I'm looking at Tamara. She's already, yes, she's traumatized. But hey, this is great. Let's talk female genital mutilation.
Shall we?
The shadow of Armageddon.
Yeah.
This is what we've got.
Happy go lucky.
Yes, it's been a fun thrill ride. So, I was telling you earlier, I couldn't think of anything quippy to start this out with because it just seemed so.
Really?
Yes,
nothing,
it was ridiculous.
Quippy, huh?
Got nothing.
I was going back and saying, when have we ever had this much of the world encroaching upon Poplar? I mean, because this is obviously a world event that there is happening, an imminent nuclear attack.
Yeah, I don't feel like we've ever had something that was a big
this,
news story like
this
that.
Much no. Playing through, because it was just peppered throughout, and everything that was happening was obviously colored by that. And of course, they start off talking about the soul and where does it reside? Is it the heart? Is it the brain? And I'm going, when there's impending doom, you often think of the big philosophical questions. But I thought that was a great way to start it, just because as we were watching every storyline, I'm going, how does this affect, especially Mary Cynthia's and stuff? So since I just mentioned, let's talk about Mary Cynthia. So yeah, I finally got to see her. I did, but it didn't work. Honestly, it didn't work.
Yeah, here it was. John got to see Sister Mary Cynthia being given ECT. Are you happy now?
No, and I'm not, because the context. We started out with that, so there was no buildup to it. So I was like, oh shoot, and then
that's it.
So
episode last week wasn't enough.
This is a gut-wrenching show, and there are times when I just want to be demolished.
Yes.
And the build-up, meaning the precursor to it, because we just jumped right in. There was no build-up to that moment where it could be really effective. So it was there, but it would have had a different effect if we had all those other scenes coming up to it.
Well, and I think also they were sort of sparing you on that because other was coming
exactly.
later.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to point out we got a comment on our YouTube channel from Rash Plan One, that electric shock therapy is still used actually today.
Is.
And
yes,
because it works in about 50%, it's about 50% effective for severe depression and mania. Thank you for letting us know that. Yeah. And
really?
I mean, it's something
that's good stats.
I was
going
to say 50%. How do you decide? Yeah,
I don't know. How do they figure that out?
Well, is it just it works or doesn't work, or is it,
or
is there
because
what we've seen, dramatized is. It not only doesn't work, but it
lobotomizes
is damaging.
You.
There's obviously issues with that. But
I'm glad they said that.
Yeah, it's really great that they let us know that because every time I had the context of having seen it in other dramatizations, and you always think it's devastatingly bad and that it will not have any kind of positive effect. And so, I'm glad to know that there is little hope there.
Right, and I'm wondering if there's a home remedy for it, because I could use
you can just shock yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why not? Okay, but this is what I thought was really interesting, because they talk about where does the soul reside, and and how do we say that? How is it a part of us? How are we a part of it? Or whatever, how you want to discuss that. But the parallel to that is Mary Cynthia second guessing who she is and trying to find herself again, which to me was the way they were weaving that in. Because if you're still searching for your soul, don't know where it resides, and she isn't even sure who she is anymore, and where is her soul? Where's her religion? Where's her all that spirit? And I thought that was a great metaphor, and to really. I don't know, hammer that home isn't the right term, but to way to explore that.
Good way to explore, for sure. And it was good. As much as I was interested to see if she was shocked and scared what's going to happen to her brain and all of that, and thinking of that physical part of the pain, the emotional pain that she had to experience, feeling so broken and separated from herself and all of that was really, I don't want to say great, but
it was devastating, but it was wonderfully dramatic.
It was wonderfully dramatic, and it filled that void that we thought this major event was going to happen. Because at first I was like, she's fine after the shock therapy? Where are we going with this? But it was beautiful the way that they worked that out.
And that, what's also interesting is every once in a while I had to remind myself, oh, that's right, all this is because of the trauma. And, and somehow in that trauma she's been separated from who she is because of the effect of it.
Yeah.
And she's still trying to find her way back. And I keep reminding myself of that because it, sometimes for me anyway, because when the show is just happening, it's just, you think it's just that moment, right. And I have to go, oh, that's right, she's just been ripped away from who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the after effects is
and continues to try. Well, I guess we can talk about it now. Just how she tries to do that, you know, with connecting with her habit, her clothing,
so, and things keep getting stripped away.
Exactly, getting her Bible being taken away, the timing and structure of her prayers. Right. So again, like continually
everything
trying to
that
reconnect.
She would cling to, that built upon, which made her who she was, is being stripped away.
Right. And then in the end, you know, saying, "How do you want to be referred to?"
Right. And going back to start, to where what she remembers, her ground zero. That's a bad term, sorry. In the shadow of Armageddon.
That is a bad choice, John.
Yeah, but that's, But in speaking of that, there's also there, because everybody else is wondering, is up in this weird place too, because that which they thought was terra firma is now being upended because we don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So everybody's getting stripped away of what they know and their core, their base.
Your foundation.
Exactly.
I remember going through that. You two probably do as well. When we had the big earthquake here,
right?
Because it was. You weren't here. Oh, you're so lucky to have not been here. So not only was the Northridge earthquake of '94 traumatic, but it kept going on. Like it didn't happen just once. Every day for like 6 days, I would be awakened every morning with aftershocks. Yeah. And so you know, I remember having that conversation with people about how literally the ground under my feet was not safe.
Yes.
And so everything felt so unstable. And I can really, I mean, that's how I try to equate the sense of, you know, the world could end tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, Barbara trying to talk a little bit lightly, not meaning to. Mm-hmm. And you know, other things we'll talk about later. But, you know, just that sense of this impending doom when you really have no idea what's going to happen next. And terribly pertinent to today is all I'm going to say right there.
Now that I'm really afraid again of earthquakes, because I haven't had a major one since I've been here. So, but wow.
You're the good luck charm.
Yeah, you are.
So. Yeah.
Let's keep it that way.
This also for the historical context. Obviously, they're not too far away from World War II.
No,
not at all.
It's not even a generation.
Just in it. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, and Trixie talks about that we've had two world wars, and he gets and she gets corrected. Actually, there's been, well, not only two world wars, but three wars.
The
Korean War. So. Talk about the difference from World War I to World War II and the destruction of that, and then an Armageddon of nuclear
proportions.
Yeah, it's like, okay, exponential destruction.
Well, and you're saying something about how you'd think we would have learned.
Yeah, humans always have a hard time learning.
You would think.
Yeah.
It's men.
So, okay, so that's everything that's happening and everything that's going on. But let's talk about the specifics of
can we start with Sister Monica Joan?
Yes, sure.
Standing at the gates of the hospital and
obviously wandering away and stealing away to this. Instead of going to the bar watching TV, she's now
praying and crying.
Praying and crying and fasting.
Yes.
And decided, I am not marrying
She's
internet.
Not
going
to eat. She's gonna
I will not eat cake until my sister is... No, wait. I will not eat cake while my sister is moldering in an asylum. I will not eat at all until I am assured she is unharmed.
And first of all, just the way they started that with, you know, the whole, we have, let's get tea and cake, and then because of the sweets and how we know how huge that is, and then she's not going to eat that, and then not going to eat anything. And I remember you seeing that, and that really got you right away, didn't
it? Yeah, it really did. It really did, because it just connected so much to... You know, that's one of her few, Monica Joan's, things that gives her, you know,
joy,
well, advice. It's not so much
joy.
A joy, because she loves gardening and a lot of things, but this is that, like, little, like, the closest she gets to advice.
She secrets away snacks and goodies and stuff, so we know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
her is painful to the point, like her emotion, because I don't know if it was 2 seasons ago, whenever, when she was feeling lost herself, she didn't have a place and she didn't know, and now she kind of sort of found a spot and is in a comfortable place, and then Mary Cynthia is ripped away from her, and like watching that pain again, like it's
again something else that
really
she
difficult.
Has hung on to that is foundational rock for her is now being stripped away because that connection she had with Mary Cynthia, not only is Mary Cynthia not there, even when she's back, she's trying for it to be there, and it's not.
Yeah. I want to just point out one thing I'm mad about and one thing I hope, and that is I'm annoyed as heck about the fact that this show is not as popular in the U.S. as it is in the U.K. Pretty much every single person I mention it to says, oh, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, people I know have never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, they're just not pushing it.
And that, not only that, but the fact that there have been no Emmy nominations for the show. And specifically, I want to talk about Judy Parfitt, who plays Monica Joan, and her portrayals of her are so heartrending and so touching that when I finished watching this episode, I was like, please, somebody give her an Emmy, for goodness sake. She's so talented.
So
I mean, everyone on the show is incredibly talented, but they're really giving her, you know, work and scripts that show off what she can do.
I mean, the scene that she had with Mary Cynthia when Mary Cynthia was talking
was
about...
Was attacked?
I'm just talking in this episode. When Mary Cynthia is talking about how the mist is there.
She talked about the fog,
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, that was the best quote ever.
Wasn't it amazing?
It was super long.
Yeah.
It's not so bad to be lost in a fog or at sea.
Yeah.
When
you can keep with those who can keep eye of the shore or something.
Something like when you can see it, the land again, you have a better appreciation for it to that effect.
But those who have never...
I can't read my own handwriting.
I didn't write. I can't. Mine
those who have never left the safety of the shore. Something of that regard. But we'll not try to be verbatim because,
it's about the feeling.
It was. And what I loved was, you know, Mary Cynthia's talking about the mist and how she can't even hear God, and God can't even hear her, and she's obviously a C, and she's, Monica Joan, the clarity with which she speaks of that lifeline that she throws her, and she's talking about the fog, and she's so clear when she's discussing it. I thought the juxtaposition was amazing.
Yeah.
So, and, we get those wonderful moments when Monica Joan is the clarion voice. And
you feel like she's lived it. Like, she's speaking from her own. Yeah. Like, I've been in a fog. I haven't seen it. Like, and you receive all of that in her mind.
And you know that that fog will come again. Then she will be, floundering. So.
So then we find out that Mary Cynthia is going to the general ward.
That's right. Yes. She gets stripped away of her...
challenges with Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, exactly. With Nurse Ratched, that's what I called her right away. She goes into Gen Pop.
Yeah. Gen Pop.
is stolen.
And Monica Joan and Sister Julianne visit her there.
Visit
her,
yeah.
So the moment when Sister Julianne says, I'm sorry I didn't look harder.
Right. Yeah.
She said, talked about, being away from love.
Yes,
and
we will
again,
make a
Sister Monica Jones says she'll never. She's never been. I can't read my handwriting. She's never been beyond the reach of love.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but Sister Julianne seriously wants to atone.
Yes.
Because she didn't look hard enough. And, in fact, we talked about it last week. Yeah. I was even saying, why didn't she just walk away so easily? Clearly she's feeling that. And, when she's talking to Dr. Turner about how she's going
to
be the one that makes these moves
home.
Alone. And I want to do this on my own as a way to make amends. So, and the way the two of them, Monica Joan and Sister Julian, when they go visit her the first time, the way they're just holding and touching and...
Yes.
Such an outpouring of concern and feeling, and it was just,
and then also when they left and came back and were making up her room.
Oh yeah, the way they made up the bed
together,
and putting the Bible.
The way they shot it in the folds.
Yes,
all
exactly.
And then it looked so much more luxurious than it usually. I mean, I don't remember it looking that lush and perfect for her.
I don't either. Yeah. But the way they were doing it with such care and such love, and you're going, she's going to be taken care of here. This is where love resides, and which is what they were saying. And then the Bible and the little confection on top.
The little tree on our Bible.
Of course.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that was brutal. But okay, now we're going back to Mary Cynthia when she's in the asylum in Gen Pop, and the Bible's missing. She sees obviously Mrs. Archibald, and the woman who's just sitting there waiting,
had a lobotomy.
Which we find out later, and for the son who never comes. And I'm going, is there even a son? And do they not show up? And what's that all about?
Right.
And then also, I think that. There's a reflection for Mary Cynthia about where I could be, what could happen to me with nobody coming or me waiting for nothing and person who may not even exist. I don't even know. So I was just going, oh my God, thinking about that. And then, of course, she finds out later that... And I thought, okay, so she sees the Bible. Right. It's in Archibald, Mrs. Archibald's purse.
Yep.
And, of course, immediately says, keep it, you know, and because it will bring you comfort. And I'm going, that's exactly what just happened, you know, like a scene earlier with the Bible and the confection. You know, and it's like, yeah, there you go. That's it. There you go. That's what we want in our sisters.
Absolutely.
They've got it perfect.
Yeah. But even in her struggle to find out who she is, remember herself, to even talk to God, she still has that... It has not. It's there. She can't. She hasn't lost that. Her, you know, wanting to help others. No,
right,
what?
Of course.
You're saying,
I mean,
you're not
she
sure?
hasn't lost it. No, she wants somebody else to. But it's still separate from her. Mm. She doesn't.
It's not connected.
It's not something she can grab onto for some reason.
Yeah, it's still. She's still floundering.
Just got a tweet pointing out that the bonbon, the little sweet that was left on the Bible, was the same kind that Sister Ursula took from Sister Monica Jones.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Nice
look
call.
At you guys.
I don't know about confectionery.
I know.
English confectionery specifically.
Right. Yeah. Like some
English confectionery
like
from the 1960s.
Right. Yeah, I'm not up on
pretty
that.
Specific, narrow vein of study.
Yeah.
Oh, and the soap from Trixie.
Yes, there's a soap from Trixie. And what I didn't quite understand, and maybe you guys can help me. So Trixie obviously wants to see her, but she can't for whatever reason. You know, they put her, you know, separated her to some degree. And is it trying to do that to give her time to rest, Mary Cynthia time to rest? And why can't, you know, they used to room together. They were buddies. They were mates. So why can't she see her? What's the deal?
I was confused.
Okay.
I think it was too much.
I think it was the idea that she needs to be sort of sequestered because she's been through this traumatic event, and I just thought it was just that because Sister Julianne kept going in and saying, you know, you need to rest throughout the rest of the episode. So it could have been
the whole point, and I won't belabor this too much, but the whole point was to bring her back to the house to get enfold her in this love. And I go, weren't these ladies part of all that? Weren't the nurses and Trixie?
Yeah.
I mean, they all had this.
Yeah, maybe.
But I would guess that they would want her to do it in her own time. So like when she was ready to sort of deal with people and talk to the people, like instead of having, because everybody wants to rush you at once and be like, oh, are you okay?
No,
are you okay?
But,
and you have to explain.
But
it.
I didn't mean en masse they go in there. I mean, just but you know,
that sounds like it's one person.
Yeah.
But, okay. Just give her some soap and a note.
There's the soap. And again, Trixie, of course, you know, saying, well, she probably only had, what was it, Carbo, whatever the heck soap was. There's some horribly generic.
Well, rough. And,
astringent.
And, exactly. Astringent is perfect word.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here, have something nice.
Have
it smells good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Smells
and then
good.
Echoed later when she is talking about, you know, I wanted to come and see you in the, you know, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And here's a platitude and the bleakest of days, and but the weather will change. And you, the worst thing I could think of is to be wrongly dressed for any event.
Clearly, that's the most awful thing that could happen to anyone.
That can happen. I mean, it feels pretty bad.
It does feel pretty bad. But I was thinking, in the shadow of Armageddon, you don't want to be wrongly dressed.
But, you know, that's also like making light in a certain way and trying to at least,
I just thought it was great. It was absolutely character driven. And I thought it was funny. And I thought, this is who she is, and you know, this gives her comfort, and she wants to give that comfort to Mary Cynthia. So I thought it was great. It was funny too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Even though Mary Cynthia was still like, okay, thanks.
The moment a little bit earlier, where or later around that, when Sister Julianne said, you know, thank you for your thoughts or whatever. You know, thank you for your thoughts and your and the soap, and she's like, I would rather. Oh, can I give her your blessing or your regards?
Your esteem. Regards. Thank you.
And she said, I'd rather you give her my love.
Right. Yeah. That's what's good. Just let her in. Just let her
give her a hug and go.
Exactly.
Back.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
She
but. Okay, but I thought it was also interesting. It was a great shot. They had a couple of really good shots, too, in this particular episode. Like they always do. But
when
Cynthia comes home and she's looking at the house, and just the look on her face was great. And then when she's praying and you see the cross and the shadow and the floor, and they had a lot of really fun shots there. And then also when she's in her postulant's dress And she looks completely different.
She's, right.
She's like, she looks like a again. Kid.
Yeah.
She did. She looked like a child.
Yeah.
But I feel like they did that a lot, because even when she was studying at her desk, like, the desk seemed really large.
It
and
did.
There was so much books that were, was drowning her. Like, actually, everything she shot in,
all
she...
All the pressure.
They over... They make sure you know she's this, like, frail little tiny bit in all of this mess.
Yeah, so. And I thought that was well done. And especially when she came out in that dress and she's looking like, you know, she was 17 or whatever. Yeah. Like, when she first started the journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just going back to that. But we got, you know, at least we saw... Was it, what was her name? Nurse Barrington, or Barry, as they call her. Yeah. We got to see the new place.
Oh, the new place, yeah.
The stark difference from
Lynch. Right, so she's been brought there because Dr. Turner has his a time, commonality with her.
His time after the war. This is and they walk with you in the garden, and you don't feel alone anymore, which is a big deal. When she was talking to Dr. Turner about feeling lonely,
yes.
And I'm going, oh, you know, because she has all this support around her. They're just
wanting to give, yeah.
She's not, because she's not connected to herself, I don't think she can connect with any big people yet. Yeah. So she's feeling lonely. And that was just, oh, still staring. You just don't want Mary Cynthia to feel horrible at all. You just want her to be happy in life.
You just want her to come out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And be okay.
But, you know, they made a point to look out. When she turns around, she looks at the grounds of the new place. There was no fence, there was no gate, there was no lock, there was no anything. It was just gardens and trees and stuff. Yeah. And so you're going, okay, there's room to breathe, there's room to grow, there's room to heal. Exactly. So.
And have people walk with you. Yeah, that was the thing, because she's so clearly tormented.
Yeah.
And, you know, at sea, lonely, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And, as much as her sisters can give her support, no one can really understand the kind of trauma and, you know, lingering effects that she has from it, but these people can.
And to some degree, she does have to find her own way back.
Yeah.
So as much as you'll have all that support there, you still got to do it yourself.
You got to do the work.
One of the things I wanted to say about the scene between Trixie and Mary Cynthia at the end, when she was talking about the wellies, when Trixie said, because, you know, Trixie is light and fluffy in a certain way, you know, she's so pretty, but she's not without depth. I mean, we continually get reminded of that with her, and I love that about her character, that she
has this great veneer, and you think that's deep as a dime, and then you realize, oh, there's all this other stuff.
So much, and when she was talking about sitting through your bleakest day, I just loved it, because you know she's been there. She has gone through Dark Night of the Soul with her and her alcoholism and all of that kind of stuff. And just, I mean, it really, I loved that moment, because she wasn't just...
vapid.
And not just speaking about, you know, silly clothes and wellies. Yeah, exactly, you know, she was really talking about what's beneath that. Thank you.
Subtext, so...
Poor John had a headache earlier today. I was worried about him, and it turns out I'm the one who can't put together a sentence. There is tea in my cup, too, by the way. Yeah. For those of you who've watched the show before, know that sometimes there's wine. There's not today.
Let's jump into the Neefa storyline, shall we? Let's get away from all this darkness. I'm going to just bow out of this. You guys go ahead, ladies.
Oh my God.
I think I'm still clenched from dealing with this afternoon.
I'm not sure I have a place to stand or talk about this, but let's do it.
Of course you can.
Okay.
Of course you can.
So we meet her.
Mrs. Farah, also known as Nadifa.
We meet her and her husband, and there's a post in the mail, and she's hiding it from hubby.
Yes. Yep.
And they go, okay, something's up already. And, you know, so we get to, you know, and obviously he needs to see it. And that's I think it's a, is it a ticket? Is
that it's a ticket,
Something about going, exactly. So obviously she's pregnant. And they think she's only 7 months. She's clearly farther along. And, you know, of course, we can't go back because to homeland or Somaliland, the home. Mm-hmm. It's because that baby's coming.
Coming soon.
Yeah. So, and of course, then therefore we take her to the clinic. Let's just get to the clinic when we have the very awkward, I'm just going to examine you down there. I'll be very careful. You know, it's like, whoa, hello.
What is that?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was great, too, the way they handled it.
Brilliant poker faces on this
one. Yeah.
I like Valerie's smile when she comes up.
She's like, do you need help?
Yes, I do need help.
There's something you don't see every day.
Oh, Barbara.
Yeah, and Barbara, too. Can I ask?
Have you had any surgery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only what's normal.
Only what's normal.
Or usual is what she says.
Something like that, yeah. So then we learn, obviously, the what's been going on. And then, I mean, again, Call the Midwife, I don't know what other show is going to deal with it this way. I mean, I've seen it in other shows and everything, like, but this...
Have you?
Yeah, they've talked about it. Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah. I probably
not, I'm talking about other series. Other TV shows. Let's put it that way. Yeah, but not this way. Certainly not this depth. And... there was so much about this. I was just, you know, I was like, oh my God.
It was very detailed without being graphic.
Yeah.
Thank you. It made me super uncomfortable. Yeah. And I know lots about female genesis because it was a study that I did a long time ago.
Oh, wow,
so I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I was uncomfortable to the 9,000th degree watching it. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't graphic.
Clearly, it
wasn't.
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't show anything.
I loved how they, you know, they gave us all the information through the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, referring to the doll that was sitting right there. And Dr. Turner explained, because none of them had any experience with this, which was partly shocking right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is probably, I don't know, 98% of their audience not really having any
experience. Right, exactly. So, yeah. And so him explaining it, them describing it,
well, yeah, just
you know,
describing
like you say,
it.
But without it being graphic.
I don't even know how BB got in there, let alone how it's going to get out. Just things like that.
Yeah.
And then the Dr. Warmth in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
examining her. And
Dr. Philgood.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. We're going to cut you.
Yeah, like, exactly. Honey. But, you know, that right there, I was just going, whoa, okay, yeah. And have you ever had any... I can't remember what he said exactly, but have you ever experienced this?
Right, yeah, urinary tract infection.
Yeah, so in my mind, I'm going, why would you... And my mind was coming up with the strangest, like, oh, my God, what is... I don't get it. I don't understand it, you know, because they weren't being graphic. It was left up to my imagination going, oh, my God, how do you
deal with that?
Well,
how does that happen?
If they're concerned about those things, what exactly is going on?
Right.
What really happened? And I was... Not good.
Not good.
So earlier today, I retweeted a tweet that I saw because, of course, all the news is coming out. We knew the storyline was coming up and some news items have come out. But if you guys want to check my Twitter feed, I retweeted a picture of the tools, in finger quotes, that are used. The knife, specifically, that she talked about.
It's just too much.
And, you know, it's a really primitive tool. Yep. There's no anesthetic. It's often not cleaned in between
and it's sure,
patients, if you want to call them that. So, I mean, you know, her very real fear of a knife coming toward her.
Sure, yeah.
Was incredibly...
And that their legs are tied together.
Exactly.
To heal.
So the moment when... So she goes to the hospital for her examination and then leaves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So she escapes. She runs away and goes home.
She's not
going to
let that happen again. Yeah.
Right. She goes home to labor by herself.
Yeah. That was great when Valerie comes to, you know, to just check on her and she doesn't answer. And doesn't answer. And she's already in labor and water's broken. And it's like, oh, she's going to try. And just the idea of it, I'm going, wait a minute. Because just a second ago, and again, I'm not as familiar with it as you may be, but I'm going, how is that going to happen on your own?
It's going to rip out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how is that going to happen? That was excruciating to imagine.
Yes.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Imagine if you had the same parts, how excruciating.
Yeah, that's
it would
what I mean.
Be
that's what I mean. That's what it's like, okay, yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, that's too, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't get there in my imagination.
It's very different reading about it, like, online for the UN.
Yeah.
And, like, reading the materials and then putting it with a character. Even, like, kids were married to these characters in such a crazy, almost, way that, they reconnect with the show. And it was literally, like, seeing it for a real person happening.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
And I got to see it while Tamara was watching it as well, and your body language was
well, I mean, it upsets me in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the physical way, but like the bigger issue, and this is, you know, I learned about FGM when I was in college, and so and I literally remember, like, where I was sitting, in what classroom, in what building in my school, and because it was so appalling to me on so many levels, because, and especially, like, the, you know, the bigger, and I'm sure that you feel this way too, Courtney, the, like, bigger social reasons of, like, why it's done, and then how, you know, because it's in certain ways, I believe, you know, it's a control thing, and it's
making sure you're a virgin.
Exactly.
Making sure, oh, or if you're crazy, it must be because you want too much sex, so they're right. going to sew it up, like, so, and ugh.
And then also, awful. You know, the continuing after effects for the right. entire life of these people, these women who have to go through it, girls and women who have to go through it, you know, as a continued control issue. Mm-hmm. There are other things that happen that because they are physically affected by it, they end up not being able to go to school because they can't deal with the stigma mm-hmm. of the physical effects that happen. And it's just, it's incredibly upsetting to me in so many ways.
Because it's not just the act itself, which is horrifying in and of itself,
yeah.
but all the ramifications due to mm-hmm. court.
And I yeah. love that they showed how you knew she, Nadifa, didn't, like,
right.
it wasn't a great thing, and she knew right. it wasn't a great thing, and
right.
yet there was that part of her that found power in it and
yes.
solidarity right. with her culture that
yes.
for
right.
doing it and,
I thought that was...
and standing up to her, being yeah. like, no, women do this. I'm
yeah, exactly.
not being
I'm not
run
gonna
by
let
a
man do
like
it. I don't live in your culture.
Like that,
I don't take
exactly.
my man's. Yeah, that part I thought was fabulous.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't expecting it, but it was great. It's like, yeah, don't lay your stuff on me. There's
yeah.
other things going on here that you couldn't
you
possibly
don't understand.
You've
and
got
also,
your own stuff.
Right, and in an issue that is so clearly black and white in a certain way, she just threw in a shade of gray right there, where
yeah.
you kind of go like,
yeah.
hold on.
Hmm.
There's actually a consideration there
yeah.
of culture.
Yeah. And it shut them up. I love that it
yes.
didn't have, there was no comeback. It was like, ew.
Right.
Okay.
Because their
right.
only assumption immediately is,
yeah.
oh, how would you let a man do this to you just
right.
because
exactly.
you're this? And she, the fact that they, like, we're powerful. We don't take our husband's last name.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That was
right.
a big
she
deal.
It was,
right.
She thought it was a control issue with the man.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's so much more here. It's mm-hmm. not so easily, it's not... Yeah, don't be so reductive.
So, one of the moments that I loved so much was when Valerie finally got to Nadifa's home and was helping her, and Nadifa was essentially having flashbacks,
right? Yeah, PTSD or
because
whatever.
Because she was
yeah.
old enough, she mentioned, "I'm, you know, maybe it should have happened when I was younger,
yeah,
like it
exactly.
did with
her
someone
sister,
else."
Yeah.
And having flashbacks and saying, you know, in her language, no
right.
knife and
yeah.
and all of that. And so later in the ambulance when the baby's coming.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be a knife. It's going to be scissors.
That's special. Yeah. And I'm going, is that going to work?
Yeah. Special scissors,
yeah.
like you said.
And again,
yeah.
okay, we got to see another birth. Never seen that one before. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just, yeah. And the whole conversation afterwards about what's it look like, how's it going to work,
yeah,
and
well,
how can a man do it? How's he going to know what it's supposed
to
be?
Like.
What's
right.
supposed to look like?
Right.
And you know the fact that she Nadifa
right.
is concerned about that, I'm going, that's right. Okay, that makes sense. She would be. It's like yeah, because in her
culturally
experience,
conditioned.
Culture, yeah, that they're not. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Just. It's like, okay. Yeah, because there, and there's no, I'm looking at this, yeah, what's the answer? There's no,
answer.
There's no easy thing here. It's just,
no.
And they didn't, I appreciate that they didn't try to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
They just went, here are the sides, so
this
to speak, here are the issues. Yeah, here's the story. And you're going, oh, man. So, which is great for us because all
yeah.
we get to do is, this, okay, let's discuss.
right. So, and then, so she sends her sister. Back
yeah.
to Somaliland
mm.
because to be respected, to be clean, and to find a good husband
right.
to do those things or be those things, she must be cut.
Yeah. And I was like, I was, okay. And of course, when she says, I'll see you when I come back from holiday.
Holiday!
I was like, why they had to have a little girl say that? Like,
yeah.
really? Like, that was just well, cold blooded in every way.
Yeah.
They know where she's going.
Yep.
She. Kind of knows where she, but
yeah.
this is my holiday.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay.
That was,
and, so,
and especially the other thing was that you know, because they did a great job of, you know, Deka just seemed like, oh, what a nice little thing. She
wants to be a nurse.
She wants to be a nurse. Like science, the book from Barbara.
Right, such a modern English
yeah.
girl.
And,
yeah.
you know, you, without really knowing it, because of the bigger storyline going on, they wheedled her way into our heart. It was like, oh, great, great. And then
right.
it's like, what?
Yeah,
no,
you
no,
can't
wait a minute.
Possibly
right.
be sending her
yeah,
after
exactly.
she just gave birth.
And caring about her like crazy before I even realized what was going on. And then that happens and you go, oh.
She was so cute.
Yep. Yeah. And that's where she's headed. And you already know what, okay, and you know what that means.
But then yeah. Nadifa's daughter, she chose
yeah.
not to have
mm-hmm.
her.
Yeah.
Cut.
If you chose not to do that for
and
a day,
right,
okay, yeah,
so breaking the chain.
And, and I like what the voiceover said about that. I don't remember exactly because I couldn't get it written down.
I get it.
But they were saying something about how it was difficult to break with. I don't remember.
It took a lot of courage.
It took courage.
And thinking about the process of how long it would take to stand up to say, like, actually, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore because it's so ingrained in you, and it's not—it's not an easy choice, and it wouldn't have been an easy choice to try to keep her sister. And it wasn't her right to keep her sister because that's her sister. Her mom sent for her, so it was. I liked how they
so much to unravel that, unpack that. It's completely enmeshed, and how do I, you know, come to my own decision about this with all that cultural stuff, you know, baggage that we all have. So, and I love the way that the soul being stronger than we think and can survive all mutilation.
And the scars.
And the scars.
Perfect and complete.
Nicely wrapped up.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are such good writers.
Yeah, that was good.
And so come up with this
I'm really wondering, I mean, because, you know, as a writer, I'm sitting there going, okay, I wonder if they come up with the themes first, or they go, these are the stories, and then they figure, hey, because a lot of times, I don't know about your experience and your experience writing, but when you're writing, sometimes you're just writing the story, and all of a sudden the theme reveals itself. You go, there it is. Or do you, I'm wondering in the writer's room if they went, I want to talk about these kinds of things, and then the storylines fit the themes. I'm just curious how they
I'd
do it.
I'd be interested.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
Because it's so well crafted.
Yeah, it is crafted. It is crafted. Okay, so we can move on to Trixie and Christmas. We did have obviously some levity, and we got to see we needed to have something break up.
I'm gonna clean the medicine cabinet and not call him.
And she's she's rebuffing him. She's avoiding his calls. You know, there are bigger things going on here.
Yes.
We're we're preparing. And by the way, preparing for you can laugh at it now because let's just paint the windows.
Paint the windows
with
and
white
organize the
on the outside, of course, because this will protect us.
It's going to be so
is that
great.
Really, what they were doing?
Yeah, it's a duck and cover. Yeah, that'll, there you go, that'll help. So, but again, you can laugh at it now because, you know, we have
it
a lot.
It didn't happen,
exactly. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, and I, you know, this is just obviously before our times, but, you know, I've talked to people who went, who lived through the duck and cover and were doing that in, I don't know if they did that in Britain, but we did it here.
Probably.
And bomb shelters and all that other stuff and living through all that stuff. I don't have any memory of that, but I thought they did a really good job of showing that it was everywhere. It was on the radio, it was in the newspapers, it was on the television, and you know, this is of October. It was just that everybody thought, oh my God, this is going to happen.
The world could end tomorrow. I mean, so like, that, very real.
Yeah, and that does really change your perspective. So here she is rebuffing him, da da da, and she has the conversation with Phyllis, and Phyllis is saying, you know, hesitation is the is the thing you have to be worried about. That's the death knell.
Yeah, that's
and there's
fatal.
A thing. There's looking keen, looking too keen, and then there's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
So give yourself and him a chance.
Yeah.
And of course, she decides that she's very forward. But again, for Trixie, yes, very forward. But you know, you think of all of them. Yeah, she'd be the one.
She would do it.
She calls him, asks him out on a date. Stuff, so that's kind of nice. And of course, the reason why she can't be too forward is. He drives a sports car. With all that means.
That says so many
things.
You've got to be careful with those sports
car
drives.
Way too fast.
And with Sister Monica Joan, he's putting mercury in people and putting them in asylums.
Which although is interesting, though, because she's talking about, and she's right. I mean, you know, it's like, how the hell does he know that? But she does.
She
and,
knows.
You know, and the fact that there's the mist and the fog and the mercury, and I'm going, well, yeah, you know, okay, she's done her homework
She knows what she's talking about.
Exactly. So, but that was nice, too, when he comes with the flowers, and Phyllis saves him.
Yes. You could invite him in.
Let's put those in some water.
This man has designs on Trixie, and she says, I'm glad. Thank goodness.
Exactly. And she says, and you know, to some degree, there's nothing worse than a man walking away with flowers. Pretty sad. That is pretty sad.
Is.
So they go out on their date, and they're, you know, they're by the sports car with the lake. I mean, that was lovely in a moment. You know? And again, I'm thinking, all she cares about at the moment, because you know, all the drumbeat of war and annihilation, and she just wants to have a moment of anything real, of just quiet, togetherness, a connection, which harkens back to the loneliness of Mary Cynthia. And I don't even think she's thinking anything more than that. I just want to have, you know, I don't want to hesitate. And
just want to be with you.
Yeah.
And so she
kisses. Oh, that's right.
They kiss. They kiss. Yes, they do.
And, But But I was going to make a joke, but I don't do that. So So then afterwards, they're at the dinner table, whatever supper, whatever it is, and she's confiding with all the gals and stuff like that, and yes, we kissed.
Lady never tells. Well,
yeah, exactly.
And unless I had a really good kiss, and then I tell.
Yeah, and it was also nice because we haven't had a lot of dinner scenes.
No,
in a long time.
No,
I used to. I love those because it was great. You always got all these differing opinions and stuff like that. And it was great to see them all back there having that discussion. That discussion, and then of course we get the news that Khrushchev is back
all
down.
Good.
And everything's good.
You will survive another day.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the next time they're out on a date, we have the... Oh, that's right.
Right.
There's a ghost here we need to deal with.
Yeah.
They're having a simple little pot pie or whatever they're having, mm-hmm. and they reveal the champagne. And then it's like, oh, that's right, champagne.
Ooh, that's a problem.
Just real quickly, reminded me of a Bruce Coburn song, If This Were the Last Night of the World, What Would I Do? That was different. But have champagne with you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, nice. Where did they go? Tamara banging in the lyrics.
So. You bet.
I should have scored it, but I'm sure it's too later in the historical.
We can use it. It's recent, right. Yeah.
Not that she should have said anything because, they haven't been on
still
many dates.
Early.
It's still too early and everything like that. She handled it pretty well,
I thought she did. Yeah. It was a great way to get through it and not lie.
Yeah, and I'm going, as soon as they reveal, they go, please don't.
Not now. And don't drink. Right, don't drink. I know, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, don't do that, don't do that.
She did great.
She did.
Yeah,
I'm on call. And of course, because he's a doctor, he knows. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Got it. Yeah. So, obviously, that will come back.
We skipped over one thing that I wanted to make sure we mentioned, and that is the montage.
All right.
With,
of course.
Save the Last Dance for Me. So we had Delia looking in the book with a picture of Patsy. We had Barbara and Tom drinking martinis.
Dirty martinis.
Yeah, I just want to point out Fred and Violet dancing. It was a beautiful montage.
Yeah, and really needed. I mean, it was like, oh my God, I got an island, a little respite here. Thank you.
Yeah. It's still about doom, and then the day might be over tomorrow.
But they were all enjoying themselves.
Yes. And again, you can't dismiss the historical context. It's like, 17 years prior.
They were
in the, in the tunnels.
Yeah.
In the metro.
Yeah.
Underground.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, nice.
Beautiful montage.
Yeah, and we get to have her not imbibe, and we'll find out how that plays out later.
Right.
I'm sure that will come up at some point. And lastly, we got the Turners. We got the Turners moving, so they obviously made the move, and they're not going to be hoarders.
Sheila's such a jolly lady.
Yeah,
she's funny.
I thought it was great. So they're at the breakfast table, and Tim's talking to Dad about what was he saying about
About the news.
The news, right? Yeah. He's like, don't let Mom see this, because she's got another. And yet she's there cooking for him. It's like, well, you really couldn't help her out? She's
baking
pregnant.
An egg.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready to go.
But now that's the time. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. But, when I grew up, that would not sit well in my house.
No.
So, obviously, the movie, they got the boxes, and that's how we get the dolls, which I thought that was a great way to weave that.
For sure.
The doll in to make the whole FGM thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nicely
crafted. Very,
crafted
very clever.
But still, they screwed up because... they said that they sent the mover to the wrong address.
Yes.
The electricity is at
the wrong day.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's
This is all just so we can have the moment with the candles in the camp.
Yep.
Is that
camp house.
And the sleeping bags that smell like wee.
Exactly. Calling back their time out in the rain.
Camping. Best trip ever.
Exactly.
And
so
they're just in love.
So, but we do get to see a family moving to the suburbs. So, this is nice.
The times
so we'll get
changing.
To see. That's right.
Right.
It's a rolling along. Mm-hmm. Can't avoid it.
Sister Winifred learning how to drive.
That's what I was about to say.
God,
with
thanks.
The pillow.
She was hysterical.
Her face is delightful.
Yeah. I also loved her little body English as she's staring with the pillow and doing her little shifting. And
when she was glad Phyllis wouldn't be participating at the beginning, and then at the table when they're all there, Phyllis is like, oh, we can start your driving back. And she's like, oh, no.
Exactly. We also had Phyllis in, with the Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, whatever
and
she's, running around the gym.
Because they need to have some fun.
Yeah.
Because the world may be over tomorrow.
Exactly. And all of us trying to figure out a way through this, all of them kind of floundering in their own way because of the uncertainty of tomorrow.
Yeah, I have no Can't idea relate. What that's like.
Can't
oh my god. even Sheila talking about that. Right. You know, I don't know why my prayers were answered.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of world am I bringing this baby into.
And that was I'm talking to my mother and my older sisters and stuff. That was a question they had discussed many times during that era.
During that time.
Yeah. 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 Because they're much older than I am, so they had. My sisters. So, yeah, they were freaked out like crazy about it. And they would talk about it. And every once in a while, we talk about it. And what their experience was of it. And,
interesting.
Yeah, not a fun time. Yeah.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
Very I guess upsetting. Our first experience with that was September 11th.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On that note, where are we going from here? So, Tamara, do we have
special
news from you?
Yeah, I have a little bit of news. Yeah, let's do some news. TV news. Article in the Radio Times where Emerald Fennell was quoted, she says, it's really interesting because the only people who think Call the Midwife is cozy are the people who've never watched it.
Cozy.
So this, thank you, Lee, for sending this article along. it's not a cozy show. It shouldn't be called cozy. I don't think it should be called cozy. And again, Emerald Fennell, it's a beautiful, warm show about love and friendship, but it's pretty real and gritty for 8 p.m. on a Sunday night.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's often, because we don't know that. We don't know it's airing by 8 p.m. And it is. It's a family show, but it's not easy.
It's family because it's... Yeah. Not graphic.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still detailed.
Yeah, it's hardcore. It's bloody. It's what women have to go through. It's unbelievable, says co-star Charlotte Ritchie. Heidi Thomas says, I always say Call the Midwife doesn't tell people what to think, but it tells them to think. She's the writer, creator of the show.
Very true.
That's the experience that we all have had with talking to other people about, you know, you really should watch this show, and I'm going to renew my plea for please give these people some Emmys.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And because every time I say it, they go, what? Call the Midwife? Why would I want
to?
What? Exactly. And I go, yeah, and for some reason, that puts them off.
Because they're stupid.
Anything about women and babies. Everybody wants to act all brand new.
Well, because they're queasy and squeamish and can't take it.
When I first heard about it, I was like, do I really want to invest myself in another show? Like, is it called really? Okay. But I did trust the person telling me, and I said, because they never steered me wrong on whatever show.
Mm-hmm.
And was shocked, surprised. I had no idea. I said, really? This is where we're going in this? This is what they're talking about? This is what they're doing?
Yes.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. From Twitter, this is not one of our viewers as far as I know, but from Twitter, I just wanted to share from Kristen Wilkinson, who is Silent KW1, who posted a photo. She says, because it's called the Midwife Day, and well, what else do you do when you draw for a living and love television?
Wow.
And it's an incredible pencil drawing of Laura Main, who plays Sheila.
Yeah.
Nicely done. So you might want to take a look at it.
Beautiful.
While we're there, let's talk about some shout outs and some YouTube comments. So Miss Majoria talks about how Sister Mary Cynthia would have been under anesthesia when she had the electroconvulsive therapy, so she wouldn't have had any reaction to them putting the electrodes and the mouth guard in place. And she said that's why she said she woke up. Mm-hmm. When she woke up, something would have been done to her, you know, because she was having challenges with that in last week's episode. So shout outs to at Silent K1, Claire, Maureen Parr, Julia Lee, Anna C, Anna M, Caroline, Joke, Brendan, the J Straz, Catherine, Helena, Creative Sammy, and Broadsword Calling Danny Boy. And the last thing I just wanted to reiterate, we talked about it, but I have the actual quote here, the voiceover of the sort of theme of the show, the soul being stronger than we think can survive all mutilations, and the marks upon it make it perfect and complete, like you were saying, just incredibly beautiful.
All right,
powerful.
So I don't really necessarily have any predictions, but I was going to talk about what's coming up.
Yeah, let's do coming up, because we're running out of time.
So.
And now, your host.
All right, so obviously Phyllis is going to have a difficult time next week, which I think is great, because usually she's a stalwart, you know, she's completely solid, and then she looks like she's going to get thrown for a loop, and
loop.
Eggs, and apparently put somebody in danger or hurt them or whatever it is, and I'm going, oh, this is going to be great, because I like it when she's off balance.
Yes.
You know, the first time we saw her off balance when she was dating, you know, that kind of thing, and we got to see different sides of her. So I think it's great they're giving her an opportunity to stretch as an actor, and they have to see the character unfold in a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what is that going to do? Because again, we've seen Mary Cynthia today. We've been talking about shaking to the core, her foundation unsettled. And here, this person who you would never think is, because she's seen so much, been through everything, and done all kinds of things, is now going to get shaken to the core.
Yeah.
Which is going to shake us to the core.
Just keep shaking.
No,
just
I mean, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, I sobbed through half of this episode, and I'm not kidding. I was crying for 30 minutes afterwards because it's just it's so painful. And it, you know, and it's not just a TV show, because it really harkens to things that are happening currently. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the idea that women still around the world are being subject to the FGM, and we are being subject to such uncertainty politically that I you know, I just kept crying with this show. So seeing Phyllis crying, I'm sure I'm going to find some commentary.
I went,
I know, right?
She's like up against the wall. Like, it was dramatic.
Yeah, and you're going to need to stand down from your duties. Yeah. So she's probably going to be accused of something. Wrongly or rightly.
Like,
And then we have the thalidomide.
Yes, the baby.
Baby come back, who we've seen. This is the mother and child who we've seen be born. Is that baby Susan, or was baby Susan the one who died? I'm sorry if I don't remember, you guys, but I'm sure someone will tell me. But yeah, so I love that we're revisiting another important topical issue that is going to be gut-wrenching again.
Okay.
I love this show. I think it's one of the best that's ever been on television.
All right, and that's all we have time for. Yeah. We'll have to go. We'll leave it there. Courtney.
I'm all over the place at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. Thanks, you guys, for your comments and tweets. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
Okay, we'll see you next time right here on Called Midwives After Show.
See you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.